chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. We're going to read just the verses 42 through 47 of this chapter. John 8, beginning at verse 42, what we hear now is God's Word. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 55 in the back section. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, one of the doctrinal standards of our church. And this morning we look at Lord's Day 43. I will read the question. You may respond with the answer from page 55 in the back of the Psalter. Question 112, what is God's will for us in the ninth commandment? Well, this morning we continue our study of the Word of God as summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism, particularly looking at the law of God. And this morning, coming up to the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We have seen that while these commands in the second table of the law are stated in the negative, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, there is a positive component to them. They call us not only to avoid certain activities, to avoid certain things, but they call us to act in certain ways. And the command that you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor calls us to embrace the truth. It calls us as believers to be committed to the truth, to speaking the truth, to hearing the truth, to loving the truth. This is the character of the child of God, one who loves the truth of God. And I guess maybe that's where we have to begin this morning, in recognizing that there is such a thing as truth and falsehood. And you say, well, everybody knows that. There's truth and falsehood. Really? If you read the newspapers, if you listen to the television, there are simply perspectives on the truth. What is true for me may not necessarily be true for you. Truth has become something that is relative, something that can be applied very locally, very specifically, but only affects that particular group. The idea of an absolute truth, something that is true for everyone, is abhorrent today to the world, because that tends to put an obligation on everyone. But as believers, we recognize there is such a thing as truth. There is such a thing as falsehood. And those who embrace the truth, who love the truth, who are committed to the truth, demonstrate that they are doing that because God has made them His children. We've seen that theme working itself out through our service this morning. Who is your Father? In fact, if I was given to catchy sermon titles, which I'm not, but if I was, I would have entitled this sermon, Who's Your Daddy? Okay, who's your daddy? Who is your Father? Who do you look like? Do we look like our Father in heaven, the one who is truth Himself, and we are committed to the truth? Or do we look like the devil, the father of lies? God calls us as His people to a firm, solid, ongoing commitment to the truth. We are called to speak the truth. Because in speaking the truth, we are speaking in accord with our Father in heaven. Verse 44. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks lies out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." When we fail to speak the truth, we speak the language of Satan himself. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. When he speaks lies, he speaks his native language. That's just who he is. That has been the devil's character from the beginning. To lie. To twist one's words. That's what he did all the way back in the Garden of Eden. The devil comes and he comes to Eve and engages Eve in a conversation. And the devil takes the word of God and subtly twists it. Did God really say, "You may not eat of any tree in the garden"? He speaks a half-truth. God had said something like that, but the devil comes and twists it. That's why I like how our confession picks up in that language, that I twist no one's words. A commitment to speaking the truth means I will not twist anyone's words like the devil did in Eden. And the devil being a liar, is crafty when he comes to us. If the devil came to us, children, and said, "Look, I'm going to tell you a lie now," well, none of us would fall for it. We would all know, no, we don't want to listen to that. But the devil comes and he speaks half-truths. He twists the word of God. He takes that which we've known for so long and adds a little bit of a spin on it to make it false. He speaks his native language. He speaks out of his own character. He is the father of lies. We must be committed to speaking the truth, to looking like our Father in heaven, because to do anything else is to look like the devil himself, one who twists words. One who was a liar, a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth in him. And we have to be committed to speaking the truth because words, language, is so powerful. Words and language shape our view of reality. The way we talk about something influences how we think about something. We see that in the world. We see it in the church. And if we hear certain language over and over and over again, we begin to say, well, that must be the case, even if it's a lie. A consistent lie told again and again and again, we subconsciously begin to buy into it. How many times haven't we heard that homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle? Well, now who could argue with that? I like alternatives. I like having choices.
And we hear that again and again and again. It's simply an alternative. Rather than a condemnable offense before God. That's the truth. But if we hear the lie enough, twisting, turning the words, we begin to subconsciously take it into our own self. It's simply an alternative as opposed to an offense to God. We see that in the church. Words are powerful. Words can influence the way we think. If we hear a certain thing over and over again, we begin to perhaps subconsciously assume it is true. How many times haven't we heard that on whatever the issue might be, the Bible simply isn't clear enough? Pick the issue, it doesn't matter. But how many times haven't we heard, you know, the Bible just isn't quite clear enough on that? The Bible doesn't speak directly to that. Oh, the text might look like it talks about that, but the Bible just isn't clear. And if we hear that falsehood again and again and again, we may subconsciously begin to embrace it. Well, maybe the Bible isn't clear. Maybe it doesn't speak clearly where we always thought it spoke clearly. Words are powerful. Words shape our view of reality. We must be those who are committed to speaking the truth. Now, we know the Bible doesn't speak with equal clarity on all things, but on those matters on which it is clear, it is absolutely clear. It speaks clearly to us. Words are powerful. They shape reality. They shape our relationships. Speaking the truth to your husband, speaking the truth to your wife, speaking the truth to your parents. As believers, we must be committed to that. Children, we parents want to believe you. We want to believe absolutely every single word you say to us. But when you choose to lie, when you choose not to speak the truth, it becomes so hard for us to know when you're telling the truth and when you're telling a lie. Because we want to believe you all the time, but if you begin to lie, we're never really sure. That's why lying is such a serious sin between a child and his parent. Because it breaks that relationship. It's not that closest anymore where we could believe absolutely everything you told us. Words shape reality. Words shape relationships. As believers, we must be committed to speaking the truth. As believers, we must be committed to hearing the truth. And now you say, well, who wouldn't want to hear the truth? We should all want to hear the truth. I'm not so sure. Sometimes I would rather not hear the truth. When the truth is unpleasant, when the truth points out my sin, I'd rather not hear that. I'd rather not have a brother come up and confront me and say, look, I've seen you living in this way and it is a violation of God's word. I would rather not hear that truth. And we tend to distance ourselves from that type of truth. When the truth will point out our sin, when the truth will point out the sin of our children, when the truth will point out the sin of our church, we prefer not to hear. Prefer not to hear the truth when it will make us change. When the Word of God is so incredibly clear and I am living at odds with that and I hear the truth, I'd rather not hear that I must change my ways. I don't like to change. But as a believer, we must be committed to hearing the truth. When the Word of God does come to us, when it does convict us of our sin, when it does point out our offenses to God, we must be prepared to change. But it's so often in those situations, in those cases, where we resort to kind of a default position and we say, well, that's just your opinion. That's just your opinion about what the Word of God says. You know, the Word of God really isn't true, isn't clear on that point. You're giving me only your opinion. And who can argue with an opinion?
We say opinions are all equal. Opinions are good, opinions are bad, but they're all kind of valid. That's not true. Not all opinions are valid. Some opinions are dead wrong. If I want to find an opinion, I will go to someone who is well informed and can give me their opinion. Children, if I had, you know, in Las Vegas in my competition, if I had hurt my arm, which I only did a little bit, but if I had hurt my arm, I would go to a doctor and get his opinion on what is wrong with my arm. And he would give me an opinion. Now, after that, I wouldn't go to a bricklayer, a farmer, a preacher, a college student. I wouldn't go and say, well, what do you guys think? What do you think about my arm? Is it okay? You say, Reverend, that'd be foolish. Why would you go to all these people to get their opinion? Only the doctor can give you a real opinion. If I wanted a second opinion, where would I go? To another doctor. Our opinions must come from the Word of God and be informed by the Word of God. And if we're confused about what something says in the Bible, we don't just share our ignorance. But we go to those who have given themselves to the study of Scriptures. We look in well-trusted commentaries to see how this Word of God has been understood. Not simply an opinion, but a well-informed opinion. So when we are questioned on what the Word of God really says, is it really clear? We don't just say, well, let's talk about that together. Maybe you've been in Bible studies like that. I have. Text is read. So what do you think it means? Well, I think it means this. What do you think it means? Well, I think it means this. What do you think it means? Well, I think it means this. What do you think it means? And should we share our ignorance rather than going to the source, going to someone like a doctor given to the study of Scriptures, and finding a well-informed opinion, something we can trust, something we can hold on to. We compare the Word of God with the Word of God to find out what it says. We must be those who are committed to hearing the truth from those who have given themselves to the study of the truth, the study of God's Word. Even if it is uncomfortable, even if it is unpleasant, even if it causes us to change, we don't simply resort to, well, that's your opinion. We resort to, what does the Word of God say? And must I bow my knees before it and confess my sin? Because you see, if we're unwilling to hear the truth, at some point, we'll be unable to hear the truth. Jesus says in verse 43, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. That's really not the best translation. It says more literally, it is because you cannot hear my word. You are unable to hear my word. When we consistently, deliberately close ourselves to the Word of God, when we consistently and deliberately refuse to hear the truth, our unwillingness becomes our inability. Our senses become dulled. We are no longer enlightened to the things of God and unable to hear the words of truth that He brings. Verse 45, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. An unwillingness to hear the truth leads to an inability to hear the truth. As believers, we must be committed. Committed to truth. Committed to speaking the truth. Committed to hearing the truth, and committed to loving the truth. Not simply hearing, but embracing it. Making it a part of our life. Living the truth. Loving the truth. The truth of the gospel. That although we are sinful, although we are weak, although we are frail, God in His love has sent His Son to forgive us of all our sins. What a wonderful truth. We must embrace that. We must enjoy that. We must live out of that confidence. Loving the truth gives us the comfort of the gospel. God's children hear His voice. His words of love. His words of care.
His words of concern. That's the whole context of this passage. Whose father, who is your father? In verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Whom will we follow? Whom will we give our life to? Those who have a commitment to loving the truth give themselves wholly to the will, to the word of God. A desire to look like our Father. To know that we can believe the words of assurance that He gives. That though our sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be like wool. God's word is true. We can rely on it. We can believe it. We can love it. For it's our source of life. You will be truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, Jesus says. And the truth will set you free. Loving the truth is the path to freedom. And I have said that over and over in our study of the law of God. My catechumens have heard it week after week after week. Our commitment to the law is because the law is our response of gratitude, which leads us to freedom. The law does not bind us. The law does not impinge upon us. But it gives us the freedom to live, to speak, to listen like God wants us to. To have a commitment to the truth is to walk in the ways of freedom. Children, you want a good relationship with your parents? Speak the truth to them. Listen to them when they talk to you. Husbands and wives, you want a good relationship? Speak the truth to each other. Employers, employees, all our relationships, when we commit ourselves to giving ourselves and loving the truth, it is the path of freedom. It is the path of righteousness. It is the path of God's blessing. God calls us as believers to have a wholehearted commitment to the truth, to speaking the truth. Speaking the words that will shape our relationships, that will reflect the truth about reality. Hearing the truth and a willingness to hear the truth, even when it hurts us, even when it causes us to change. Not refusing to hear, lest we be unable to hear. God calls us as believers a commitment to love the truth. The truth of the gospel. That we who were dead in sin have been made alive in Christ. And those alive, those sons and daughters of their father, are now called to live, to look, to speak, to listen like their Father in heaven, to demonstrate by our actions that we are children of God. Those who love God love being His children and long to look like sons and daughters of their Father. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we do thank you for giving us your word. Your word is truth. It is totally reliable. It is that upon which we may base our lives. And you have told us, O God, that we are to know this truth, for it is the path of freedom. This morning, O God, if we are living a lie, if we are living without a deep-rooted commitment to the truth, we ask that you, by the power of your Spirit, would change us, would bring us to confession of our sin, would bring us into the path of true freedom, would allow us to live in the light of your word. We are weak, we are frail, we fall short so many times. And so we thank you for the gospel, the truth that we know, that you have forgiven us, that you have washed us, that you have cleansed us, and that you have called us to be your children. May we, O God, walk in ways that bring glory and honor to you, our Father in heaven. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.